How do you do? Come with us to Scotland, home of bagpipes and kilts, but where the unregenerate human heart is as dark as anywhere else. Her father and mother abandoned the woman in this story when she was a child, and her search for love led her to take desperate chances. This is the true story of Joyce Thurner, and how she came to a place where her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
What in the world is Joyce doing here?
Our dad just dropped her off. He said some woman brung her in a taxi to his house.
Where's your mother, child?
She doesn't know. Oh, look, her head is crawling with lice. Are these your clothes, Joyce? Mercy, they're all wet.
Well, I can't take her with me to America, Kitty. I don't have the papers for her, only for Johnny.
Her mother's surely coming back to get her.
You'll keep her till then?
Oh, of course. First thing I'll do is get rid of the lice.
Dramatizing true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Never give up on them is the motto at Pacific Garden Mission, even though some homeless people have given up long ago. They come to the old lighthouse needing food, clean clothing, a safe place to sleep. Some even need medical or dental care, and all of which the mission provides free to street people. All thanks to sacrificial gifts from friends and listeners who keep the porch light burning. The mission also offers classes and counseling, all without charge, to help their residents grow in knowledge and responsibility. Counselors and pastors speak the truth in love, the truth that sets them free, like the woman in this story. And now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 2608 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
I'm Joyce Thurner. My parents divorced when I was 4. I was 6 years old the day my grandfather left me at my aunt's house. My mother never came back for me. 2 days later, my father took my older brother and left for America. My aunt and uncle were very kind and raised me as one of their own, but they never showed affection, never spoke of love. We attended church together and even memorized many scripture verses, but I didn't understand the gospel. My aunt and uncle had 3 daughters of their own, and my cousins would often say, "We don't want you. Why don't you leave?" At 13, I discovered something I was afraid to ask about until I was 17.
Well, you're all grown up now, Joyce. Are you excited about graduating?
Yes, I am, Aunt Kathy. I'm thinking about going to Canada.
To Canada? Whatever for, lass?
I think it would be fun to go to another country. Montreal sounds romantic.
Aye, but it's so far away.
Auntie, could I ask you something?
Of course.
A few years ago, I saw my parents' divorce papers, and my brothers, John and Brian Gallagher, are named, but my name isn't mentioned at all. Why?
Oh, it's simple, Joyce. Your mother done it to make the separation easier. Your father had one of your brothers. She had the other one, so there was no battle over you because you weren't mentioned.
Huh. All these years, I felt like I didn't belong.
You belong to your mother and your father, all right, but they haven't done right by you, lass. You were in an orphanage for a time and then a foster home before they brung you to me.
Aye. Nobody's child. That's what I am. I went to Montreal where I worked as a nanny, taking care of 3 children, and while I was there, my aunt called from Scotland.
Are you doing all right, Joyce?
Oh, Aunt Kitty, I'm very homesick. And this Uncle James steak and kidney pie.
Well, you're coming back on holiday, aren't you?
Maybe. I've been trying to find my father for a missing persons place.
Any luck?
No. It's so very sad to know he's out there somewhere.
Well, he knows how to reach us.
That's what hurts, Aunt Kitty. He hasn't tried all these years. I I went back to Scotland where two of my cousins had had babies out of wedlock, and the third was going through a sex change. I felt confused and isolated. When one of them in anger told me to leave, I left and never lived there again. Desperate to belong to someone, I was vulnerable to the first man who said he loved me. His name was Patrick.
You were coming on kind of strong to that man in the pub, weren't you, Joyce?
Oh, what do you mean?
You know bloody well what I mean, laughing and talking to him that way.
I just said hello, Patrick.
I won't have any woman making a fool of me, you understand?
I can't believe this. You're getting upset about nothing.
It ain't nothing.
Oh, Patrick, you're hurting me.
I'll show you what real hurt is.
Oh, that's it. We're through, Patrick. You can just keep your ring. After that beating, I didn't want to marry him. But he kept saying he loved me and was sorry and said it would never happen again. So 3 weeks after we were married, he beat me up again. He abused me even when I was pregnant, but I stayed with him. When I was expecting our second child, things got even worse. And one night I cried out to God, please help me. The next day, my husband was arrested for robbing a post office. A few months later, I had the long-awaited phone call from my father. Oh, Father, I've waited so long to hear from you.
Your Aunt Kitty said your mother never came and got you. I didn't know.
I'm married now, Da, and you have a granddaughter.
So I heard. I'm glad everything worked out for you, Joyce.
Well, I wouldn't say that. My husband's about to go to prison for robbery.
Prison?
It turns out he was a thief, not the construction worker I thought he was. He also beat up an old man, and he beat me up a lot, too. Dad, I never should have married him.
Well, you've made your bed, lass. Make the best of it.
Aye. Maybe prison will straighten him out. Life was hard because I had very little money. I took a bus to visit my husband in prison every other day. When our second daughter was about 6 weeks old, he asked me to visit without the children.
I told you to leave the children behind.
I can't afford a babysitter, Patrick. The church is buying me coal. I wouldn't even have hot water.
I have other people I want to come and visit me here. I don't want to use all my passes on you.
You don't want to see your own daughters?
I want a divorce. Oh. I don't want to be stuck with a wife and kids when I get out of prison.
Oh, what did I do wrong?
I just don't want to be married to you no more.
Oh, Patrick.
So long, Joyce. Oh. Don't come back.
Oh, Patrick! When I got back home that night, the electricity had been shut off, and I decided to take my own life. It was just too hard to go on. After putting the children to bed, I lined up all the pills I could find. I was getting ready to take them when my baby cried, and I realized there was no one else to take care of them. I had to live. Hello?
Joyce, it's your dad. How's it going?
Oh, terrible, Dad. My husband wants a divorce. His brother told me he's a bisexual and his own father thinks I should leave the country because of what he might do.
You're kidding.
He thinks Patrick plans to have someone harm me.
Why would he do that?
He says Patrick is crazy and maybe he's right. Oh, Dad, I had to call the police last week because someone kicked in the front door.
Why don't you think about coming to America?
Oh, maybe I will. There's nothing for me here. I had this ideal dream when I went to live with my father in Colorado. We would have a wonderful reunion. I'd get to meet my older brother and everything would be rosy. It wasn't that way at all. I didn't realize I looked just like my mom and Dad was bitter toward her. Besides, my father and stepmother both drank.
You come here and stir up trouble, Joyce, that's what.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Why'd you have to bring those divorce papers with you?
Well, it always bothered me, that's why. My name was excluded. Do you know how worthless I always felt because of that? Like I didn't even exist.
You're just like your mother. Always stirring up trouble.
It wasn't my fault the divorce wasn't final when you married my stepmother.
Oh, she wouldn't have known if you hadn't brung those divorce papers.
Oh, you're a fine one to talk.
Why?
You knew I was looking for you when I was 17, but you didn't even bother to call.
You're nothing but trouble. Now I have to talk her into marrying me again, thanks to you.
After 6 months of tension, I moved into an apartment with my little girls. But in my search for love, I became promiscuous. I lived with a man for a while, but he was a drunk and abusive too, so we broke up. It was then that I got the bad news, and I talked to a friend about it, and she took me to a clinic where they performed a test to confirm my pregnancy. Then they put some water on a little cotton ball until it was mushy and small, and they said, "It's just a little blob of tissue like this cotton. We can take care of it for you." So I had an abortion, and my friend helped me pay for it. But the cost would be much higher than I knew.
And Joyce will tell us about that cost in just a moment. At Pacific Garden Mission, we give the homeless clean but used clothing every day of the year. But at Christmas, we'd like to give them something new, something meant only for them. And we can do this because friends like you are willing to send gifts so that others may know the joy of feeling special at Christmas. We can use clothing in all sizes for men, women, and children. This is one gift that you can be sure will be received with great joy, so don't agonize when you shop. Homeless people are grateful for anything, a new pair of gloves, a new set of underwear or socks, a book or toy for a child or mittens, a hat or clothing, any size, any color, as long as it's new. Toiletries are always needed. You don't have to spend much to make a difference in someone's life. And don't bother to wrap your gift, but volunteers will do that after it's been matched. Wrapping paper and ribbon can be included. And if you don't have time to shop, send a donation and our staff will buy a gift for you. You can mail your present to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Six months later, on Thanksgiving night, a man broke into my apartment and sexually assaulted me. I blacked out. When I came to, I ran to a neighbor's home and called the police. They caught him right away, but I moved back into my father's home during the trial.
So how was your day in court, Joyce?
Oh, it's horrible, Dad. They make you talk about all kinds of embarrassing things.
Your bruises told the whole story.
I'll just be glad when it's over.
What about that new job you were hoping to get?
I think it's mine. And what's more, I can get a ride to work till my car gets fixed.
Good. What about housing?
The social worker arranged for us to live in low-income housing, so we'll be moving soon. I met Chase carpooling to work at my new job. The first day I met him, he fixed my car by putting in a new battery. He became a good friend who was kind to my daughters.
Are you glad the trial's over, Joyce?
Oh, yes. I don't have to worry about him for a few years anyway.
And your daughters are too young to remember any of this?
Yes. It's a good thing they were asleep when he attacked me.
Is this the clinic?
Yeah. Will you wait for me? It doesn't take long.
Sure. Nervous?
No. I just wish I didn't have to go through this. But I don't have any choice. I can't bear to go through a pregnancy remembering that assault. My life was such a mess that day I had my second abortion. Afterward, a woman handed me some orange juice and said, "Are you happy now? That's number two." The deception was stripped away, and I saw the truth. Two babies, not two blobs of tissue. I sat on a park bench outside and cried and cried and cried. Oh, Jesus,
I wonder if they'll ever feel better. I've been through some painful things, but nothing compares to this. My parents didn't want me, my husband abused me, but this, killing two babies, is the worst pain I've ever felt in my life.
Let it go, Joyce. Let it go.
I'm trying.
Do you want me to take you home now?
Oh, yes.
Hey, what do you say we go to a movie tonight?
Oh, I
I hate to leave the girls again.
Then I'll fix dinner for you and the girls, okay?
Okay. Chase was my knight in shining armor, and I married him, convinced that I had found love at last. I knew he loved me, but I carried too much baggage from the past, and I didn't know how to trust him. I was supporting us while he went to school, and I began to notice changes.
Listen, I think I'm going to get together with the guys tonight and study.
Oh, Chase, why don't you study here?
Well, it's just not the same, Joyce. I mean, there's too many distractions.
Oh, well, that's not what you said when we were dating. You liked being with us.
Well, I'm in school now.
But you're gone so much, Chase. I hardly see you.
I won't stay out late.
That's what you always say. I have to wonder what's really going on.
Wait a minute. What is it with you? Don't you trust me at all?
Well, it didn't help me to learn you'd lied about paying the gas bill.
Won't you stop?
And then I found out about your smoking marijuana.
I just can't win with you.
Chase! We'd been married 2 years by then. I confided in his mother about our problems, and she told me to pack his bags and put them outside. So I did. I learned he was having an affair the same day I learned I was pregnant, and my world seemed very bleak. Then my new car stalled while I was driving, and I noticed a big cross on a church nearby. 3 days later, my car stalled again in the very same place, and I saw the cross again. So I checked the service times and went on Sunday.
You know, I was invited here today to speak on the church, the body of Christ, and I had my sermon all prepared, but the Lord laid something else on my heart, so I'm going to talk to you about sin and your need to deal with it before a holy God. You are accountable for the life you live. You need to look at your own heart, your own attitudes and motives, and not look at what others are doing, even if they hurt you.
I felt as if his whole message was directed at me. I sat there and cried, knowing my life was an absolute mess. By the time he finished, I was sobbing. When he asked if anyone wanted to come forward to pray, I literally ran to the front and said, "Take me, please, take me." He sat down with me and went through the scriptures.
Oh, it's all right here, Joyce. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And God says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." How do you receive the gift of eternal life?
Yes.
Look at John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Are you with me so far, Joyce?
Yes. Oh, this is wonderful.
Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
I went to church growing up. I even memorized Bible verses, but I never knew any of this.
Oh, then, listen carefully then, Joyce. This is the way of salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again."
Oh,
Joyce, would you like to pray to receive Jesus as your Savior?
Oh, yes. That day in June 1984, I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. My husband wanted to come back, so we tried to restore our marriage. Right after our daughter was born, we moved to Louisiana, where Chase worked on an oil rig for several years. Our son was born there. We were a close family again. From there, we moved to Utah, where another son was born, and we bought a home. Then we moved to Hawaii for a year, and things got really bad.
What are you checking up on me again?
I don't have to, Chase. These magazines speak for themselves. The drinking and the drugs were bad enough.
Oh.
And the way you ignore the children, the affairs, and now pornography.
Do not preach to me about sin, lady. You had two abortions, remember? And if I'm not mistaken, I believe they call that murder.
Oh, I know, Chase. But I did it in ignorance. God forgives us when we sincerely repent and ask Him.
I didn't marry a Christian, Joyce, and I don't want a Christian wife. I don't want anything to do with going to church, okay? And I don't want anything to do with any of that stuff.
Chase, what are you saying?
Listen, Joyce, we have one-way tickets home. Why don't you take the kids back to Utah? What? My ticket is good for 3 months. Maybe the separation will give us time to sort out a direction for our marriage.
It's me. How's everything?
We're fine. What are you up to?
Well, we're back in Utah, but what a mess. The renters didn't pay the mortgage, so the house was in foreclosure.
Go after them.
I can't do that, Dad. The Bible tells us to put our faith and trust in God.
That's stupid. You want to lose your house?
The Lord will provide our needs, Dad.
Good. Then you won't be crying to me, will you?
No, I won't. I'm working in an optical shop, but I'd like to be a nurse.
What's Chase up to?
He didn't come back yet.
Oh?
His ticket's good till December. December came, but Chase didn't. My children were heartbroken because they loved their father and needed him. My daughters went through some rebellion because of his abandonment. But God helped us through that crisis. He also saved our home from foreclosure. One night, a few years later, a friend called.
Joyce, I call to invite you to a meeting we're having about opening a crisis pregnancy center here.
What's that?
Well, it's a place for young girls who get pregnant. They get information about alternatives to abortion, and they get counseling.
Oh, what a good idea.
Yes, it is. I hope you'll come.
As soon as I hung up, I knew God wanted me to do something. I didn't want to tell people about that horrible sin in my past, so I pleaded with God. Don't make me do that, please. But how do you say no to the one who gave his life for you? So I went to the meeting and then helped in the steering committee. About 1 year later, they announced the need for a director of the Crisis Pregnancy Center, and I knew the job was for me. I waffled for 3 months before interviewing for the job, but they chose me.
Joyce, you are perfect for this job.
I know. When you first called and told me, I panicked. I didn't see how I could ever talk about my past. But I have to tell what God has done for me.
Jesus took our shame to the cross.
Oh, I wish I had known that years ago. I would never have ended my pregnancies, but no one told me. No one ever counseled me.
Look how God is using what you went through to help others. They can relate to you.
Yes. I had a suicidal girl the other day, and I know what that's like. I've been there. When I told her my story, she was excited to see how far I've come from where I was then.
But you have to know the Lord to have that kind of hope and change.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you ever find your mother, Joyce?
Well, I had a letter from her in 1986 when she was in England. Then she moved, and I've lost contact again. I still haven't met her.
What about your dad?
Oh, he's the same. We're getting together soon, though.
More coffee, Joyce?
No, thanks, Dan.
You like your job, then?
Oh, I love it, Dad. It's wonderful to help some scared young girl choose life.
Then they have to take care of it.
Oh, there's always adoption. We give them lots of help if they keep the baby. Cribs and diapers and high chairs and car seats and clothing. Oh, you name it.
I'm proud of you, Joyce. I've seen a big change in your life.
All the praise goes to the Lord, Dad. My life was so messed up when I came to him. But he turned it into something good.
Maybe he could do something with me.
Oh, he can, Dad. Jesus died so that he could give you a new life.
Would you pray with me, Joyce?
Dad, you want to ask Jesus into your heart and life?
I do. I do indeed.
My hope is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that promises that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I've been a single parent now for 10 years. I don't just teach abstinence. I live abstinence because God calls us to live holy and sanctified lives, which only Christ in us can do. If you're listening and you feel discouraged, remember, no matter what you've done, Jesus loves you and offers you new life. Choose life.
What about you, listening friend? Are you ready for the greatest adventure you'll ever have? With a friend who sticks closer than a brother? Wherever you are, you can receive him right now, just by asking. Pray with us. Lord, you gave your only son to pay for my sins. I want to know that kind of love. Receive your forgiveness because of him. I believe he rose from the dead and comes into my unclean heart right now to make me into his image. Thank you for sending Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. My friend, you are now a child of God if you prayed with us. So find a Bible-teaching church and read God's Word daily. Please write and tell us so we can send you some literature to help you grow in faith. The address: Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Make a difference in someone's life. Tell them how to listen to these inspiring stories and ask the manager of this station to keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 2608. Heard in the true story of Joyce Thurner were Mickey O'Donnell, Chuck McLennan, Martha Webster, Larry Moran, and Rick Plastina. Original music Don Badorf, sound Nick Aloisio, engineer Ed Webb, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Remember us. We'd like to know that you listen and enjoy these testimonies, so please write soon. The address: Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Anytime, day or night, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.